Now, the last empowerment is about the mind.
And there is first example given, which is to ask you to send your mind to the east and let it go and let it go. Is there any place the mind can go, and is there any limit where it cannot go? Same thing with the south, same thing with the west, same thing with the north. All four directions. Let your mind go. And then at the same time, then also you are asked to look at the Buddha and say, is this Buddha, does it exist? Of course it exists, you can see. Therefore, it is empty of non-existence, empty of non-existence, empty of nihilism. But if you really look deeply into it, then it is not there. It is just interdependent of all the molecules and atoms and eye and light and all these things make it look like a Buddha statue. Therefore, it does not exist. Therefore, it is empty of existence. So when these two, empty of non-existence and empty of existence, that means free from eternalistic and nihilistic reality. So that is the actual truth, ultimate truth of everything. Now it then goes one step further, clapping. Does this hand have any sound? No. But when it clapped, it had sound. But where did it go when it didn't clap? Where does it come from when it clapped? Because of all the conditions and circumstances of clapping, then sound comes. The same way, all the positive things, all the negative things in your mind, all due to the circumstances. Positive things such as devotion, compassion, all of wisdom, all of this due to positive circumstances. Negative things such as defilement, all of this is due to negative circumstances. Other than that, where is it? So after that, then you are asked to look at your mind just like this. You know, when people ask me, sometimes people ask me to give them point out. So that's all right. And then when I am about to teach them, then they will put everything aside and put their hands together and roll their eyes up and put their hands on their lap and make themselves very straight. And you don't have to do that. If you are doing some tantric, yogic practice of nadi and bindu and kundalini, all that kind of thing, then you have to do all those things. But practicing nature of mind, you don't have to do all these things. Just relax. Just relax. And then observe yourself by yourself. Observe the essence of you. It is empty because it does not have any shape, any form, any solid entity. It's very easy to see the fallacy of it. I asked you, if you are a hairy person, does your mind look hairy? You know? If you are a bald person, is your mind bald? If you are a fat person, is your mind fat? If you are a thin, skinny person, is your mind skinny? If you are a tall person, is your mind tall? If you are a man, is your mind man? If you are a woman, is your mind women? You know, it has nothing to do with how you look and what you're supposed to be. The mind is beyond all of that. So it does not have any kind of dualistic, a composed reality. At the same time, it is there. You can recognize it does not have any solid reality. It does not look like anything. It has no limitation. You, who is recognizing that, who is perceiving it, that is there. So how can you say it is not there? It is there, but it is not there like anything. It is there with no limitation. And so this way, the nature of mind is clear, empty, and ever-present. The negative way to see ever-present is very easy. Because if you try not to think anything for 1 minute, very difficult. Because you are thinking, you're not supposed to think. And even when you are sleeping, you are dreaming. So it is always active, ever-present. You are busy doing something, you are busy doing nothing. So this way, mind is empty, mind is clear, mind is ever-present, but all not separable, unseparable. You cannot separate. This is the clear part of the mind. This is the empty part of the mind. This is the ever-present aspect of the mind. You cannot. It is all non-dualistic and non-triplicity. So, this is the essence of final empowerment of Hey Vajra. So, I felt it is necessary to address this and point out this to you. And now, the real practical thing that you can apply all the time. Be ever-present. And fancy word for that will be mindful, be aware, etc., etc., etc. You know? But be present. I'm telling them, some people come to me with their hands hanged around their neck. Some people come to me with their foot with plaster. And these things will not happen if your mind is present. Because you will be looking and thinking where you are walking. You will not fall. These unnecessary things will not happen to you because you are mindful, you are aware, and you are not lost. You are doing something and thinking about something, then all kinds of things happen. No? But you are thinking about what you are doing, then not so many things will happen. So this way, even in a very mundane, ordinary, day-to-day convenience sake, it is a very good thing to have a stable, calm mind. Then, further than that, when your mind is calm and stable, then you will remember where you come from, what you are. Because people always think about what they are now. But for goodness sake, you became what you are because you have been what you have been. You have climbed so many ladders. You walked through so many journeys. And you went through so many things to reach here in this state of mind, this state of being. And your parents, your teachers, your friends, everyone, all sentient being, is part of it. For example, we as a Dharma person who truly believes and practices Dharma, we should have the Dharma way of thinking. Of course, people who don't understand Dharma, if we talk like this to them, they might think we are crazy. And some of them are very kind and they might bring some mental, you know, a doctor to help us. And might bring some pills also to help us. But actually, what kind of attitude a Dharma person should have. All should be positive. For example, if some terrible things happen to you, the terrible things means something that does not fit, something that is totally unexpected, something that is totally unwanted, so negative. But if you're really able to look at it, then it can be very easily transformed into positive. You end up with white paper and a black ink, and if you don't like that, it is white and it is black. That's terrible. It doesn't fit. But if you really look at it in a simple way, then you can draw very beautiful drawings on the white paper with the black ink, because they are totally opposite to each other. Totally they don't fit. Therefore, you can make something beautiful on the white with the black. The same thing with so-called problems in life. If you look at it in a very simple way, you can transform your problems into positive circumstances. Circumstances is circumstances. Situation is a situation. Whether it to become a negative or positive is up to your perception. You make it negative, then even so-called positive things will become negative. If you proceed positively, even so-called negative things will become positive. Because negative doesn't exist, positive doesn't exist. It's all manifestation of countless lifetimes of karma. And karma is relative truth. We are not doomed by the karma. We are totally, totally involved with the karma right now. But we are not doomed by the karma. We can make good karma out of the bad karma. And if we are no good, then we can make bad karma out of the good karma. So this way, the just remaining aware is so precious and so meaningful. Therefore, when you go further and be aware of Buddha within you, then the benefit of that, you imagine, you figure out. So that is the meaning of the final empowerment. So I hope this is beneficial for you.